Happy, happy Q Day, and welcome to another episode of A Cumin Perspective. I'm your co-host, Kevin.
And I'm John.
Where we discuss and explore the divine masculine, feminine energy, and New Earth insights. Again, John and I would always like to thank BBS Radio and Don for all of his behind-the-scenes engineering. We wouldn't have a show without him. So thank you very much, Don. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Don.
You know, John, the last time we had these two guests on our show, it was such a blast and so much fun that I felt we needed to invite them back on our show for more fun and laughter. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, right?
I do. And they're very exciting ladies,
oh, yeah.
Young ladies.
Oh, absolutely. Please welcome back to the show the dynamic duo, the co-hosts of Unstoppable Love, Lauren and Zosha. Welcome back, ladies.
Aww.
We're so
and the crowd
good at
goes
this.
Wild.
Thank you, Kevin and John.
Thank you. So fun to be with you.
Yes.
Oh, happy to be here.
Wow. Last time I heard that you guys went to Bimini. Is that what I understand? You guys went there a month ago, maybe two.
About a month ago. You're right.
Yeah, and you guys got to swim with the dolphins and had a lot of fun, didn't you?
We did. I didn't want to come home. That was legacy land, guys. That was legacy land. I know what it feels like now to be on legacy land. It's amazing.
How many dolphins were there, ladies?
Oh, it depended on the day, Johnny. It's kind of like a crowd. How many people do you see? It's just the first day we saw both species, bottlenose and Atlantic spotted dolphin. And it was a big crowd. So number, I don't know, 25.
That's what I would say.
30? Yeah. Okay. And then the bottlenose dolphin, it was just four. There were just four of them feeding and playing with us. And yeah, you never know what you get.
Wow.
But to be in the ocean in the wild with the wild, can you feel that? What that feels like?
Right.
These
but
they're beings.
Really when, aren't wild as we would think of wild, are they? Like, they're so highly intelligent.
And John and Kevin, sorry, go ahead, Zosha.
I was just going to say, not wild in behavior, but wild in their natural surroundings, just being themselves and interacting with us. You know, you feel sometimes, oh, I'm a human. What are they coming to see us? They're just as curious about us.
And
as Q tells us, they carry far greater intelligence than we do at the moment, or at least than we realize. So go ahead, Lauren.
That's right. And guys, when you look into the eyes of a dolphin, I mean, something just runs right through you. I don't, Zosha, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You're just like, you're forever changed. I mean, it is amazing. There's no words to describe it. I would highly recommend it.
It's like eye to eye with pure consciousness. There's no stuff. There's no ego in the way. It's just purity.
And they still have their connection. And Q mentioned something about the beings of the ocean. They didn't get affected or as affected as the rest of the world when frequencies were changed by some bad perpetrators.
That's right, John. I remember hearing that too. They didn't really get enough from nature, so they left it alone. And can I just read something I heard Q say? He said a dolphin has far more consciousness than a human does. They can hear everyone talking on a ship and understand what they're saying and everything going on. Porpoises will go to the bow of a ship and play, but they're also curious, what the hell are these people up to? And all that communication from the water comes through. Water is a communication tool and has memory. They can talk to every single living thing in the ocean right now and also choose not to do that. And that's how we are.
It's absolutely incredible when I think about that. It's stuff that we really, it's been removed from our very thought process or teachings or whatever, this kind of energy you're talking about. Now, I see, if I was a dolphin, I would look out at mankind on the land and look at all of these crazy structures that he's built. They're really very detrimental to nature. And of course, what we're doing is what the Luciferians, for lack of a better term, they are builders. but we are creators. And so the dolphins, they're still in their creative stage. They can see all that. They're so much further advanced than the builders are. And they can see, I think, that we're trapped in this when we're really the same as them. But I don't know if this makes sense what I'm saying, but that's how I see it, that they probably feel bad for us in a lot of ways, you know?
I know what you're saying. We're the creators and we're doing it, as Q said. We're doing it right now. We're just not remembering it. Those are the blockages in our vessel, you know. But there was also discussion just on this past week's replay with Q and Asha, and she and Asha brought up about the or they both spoke about the dolphin or the whales beaching themselves because they have such a desire to get in a human form and help. Or also bring attention to what's going on in the ocean. And that's all the stuff that's coming to me since seeing the dolphin, all this consciousness of other beings paying attention to all of this. So just a last piece is I felt like it was also me in the dolphin. So to your point, John, about feeling bad, I also felt like they see us and know our role and know their role.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And so they can still sense things, still see things that we can't see. And we don't realize that we're creators. You know, like the evil, they can't create, but we do create. And which is so much more grand than what they do. But we're filtered and blocked that we can't see it. But they're helping us bridge that. So when you went away from them and you could feel all that energy and all a change, it must be a great experience to
It's
have
ex
that.
yeah, it's expansion. It's totally, it's how do you say it? I felt so expanded, and I don't, you know. It's a really small island where we were, and I mean, not the usual things that I'm, you know, the Target down the street and this and that. And you know what, guys? I was super happy. I experienced what it was like to, I guess you could call it, you know, not communal living, but I mean, yeah, kind of, sorta. I mean, we had a shared kitchen, we had shared spaces, but we had our own, you know, private areas. But just, you know, basically. You know, great food, love, great people, fun, playful. And I mean, gosh, being out on the ocean. I mean, like, I got a new project. I was telling Zosha, and my new project is being out on the sailboat with my merman, my twinny, and making love in the ocean with the dolphins. Like, I think that's a great project. What do you guys think?
I think it is. Oh, go ahead,
Absolutely.
John.
Oh no, I'm just saying, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you can get connected with your merman and you go ahead and do the high energy thing in the ocean, then I think that's great.
You see, I'm getting the knowledge through what Q tells us and what you can feel in your own heart is we've been manipulated so that sexual intercourse is some sort of personal desire or something that you get a great I don't know a pleasure from or what have you. But I think we're manipulated that way. It's supposed to be, I believe, to create a being. Most of these animals, they don't have offspring every other week or whatever. They have certain cycles they go through, and I think we've been manipulated to make it totally different than what it's supposed to be. And so when you read those books of Anastasia, for example, it gets explained in there a little better. And I think the same thing probably with dolphins and all of this kind of thing. It's more about spiritual merging and bringing a spirit in, as opposed to all this personal gratification that we're always focused on. That's how I feel about it.
I'm thinking you're right, John, because I think procreation is probably, I would think, I would feel 90%, 95% spiritual connection, intense spiritual energy exchange, and maybe 5% physical exchange. I'm thinking that's the way I feel it, perhaps it should be. You know, and you're right. We've been programmed just the opposite, where it's 95% physical and maybe 5% spiritual connection. You know, that moment of orgasm, we kind of feel that's probably the physical connection, but it's so brief, really. You know, in the scheme of things. But I think I feel we should And we are, we
Right.
will be moving more towards the spiritual connection rather than the physical connection, I think.
Right. And
And
that's part of the manipulation that we're focused on this, like you say, this climax part of it, and not to the total planning of it, to planning of this offspring, whether it's going to be male or female, and the different things you'd like to have, that happens in a spiritual way, so that when you bring the spirit in, you can get all these things happening together for your offspring. I was reading about some dolphin birthings, and they do them in Russia, in the Black Sea, and there's another place, I think it's in Hawaii. Do you ladies know anything about that?
Can I just go ahead, Zosha? I was going to comment on the tail end of that, but go ahead, Zosha, because
I was too. So go ahead, Lauren.
I was just going to say, because that was what you guys shared about the merging. So, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's not about the physical is just the icing on the cake, right? Because you, I mean, I have literally experienced making love to somebody just by looking into their eyes, and we weren't even right. It was just looking into their eyes, because that intense spiritual, it was the spiritual connection, it was the frequency, and you could feel it. And I felt like just very, I was just, it was amazing. And then with the, so no, you don't have to have the physical. It's that, yeah, it's a bonus, right? And I remember Q saying, how do you have a G-spot orgasm connection? So it's that connection with our spirits first. And also on the orgasm, yeah, I mean, who doesn't like one? I mean, I mean, who doesn't like an orgasm? But really, you don't, we have been programmed that it has to be, this orgasm done. When really it's being with each other, enjoying each other, whatever, physical, like whatever it is, it doesn't even have to be skin on skin. And not even having to get to a climax. It's just enjoying each other, right?
Right.
I think that is important to speak on, or to mention. Go ahead, Zosia.
Yeah.
I love what you all said. Just going back to the dolphin, and I'm going to try and weave it into this, is being in, okay, we know this when we listen and feel cues, harmonics, we recalibrate to that. I felt the same in the ocean with the dolphin when my example of the lady came by and the other dolphin. It's a recalibration, almost like my whole sense of my being is elevated to this other frequency that my vessel isn't maybe used to feeling all the time. It's so profound on such a, it's indescribable. And to me, that weaves back into what you're talking about, the programming with sexual relationships or
Right.
intimacy. That level of intimacy experienced in the water is what I envision will be with my true partner, and is such a like a an envelop being enveloped in this energetic presence. It's pure presence. So now
Right.
applying that to what we envision with our with who our true partners are, that holding that presence is in fact for me how I envision it is in fact that orgasmic state. And Q has mentioned that you can even
Yes.
go anywhere and be in that state. Now we hear the word orgasm and go whoop, right to one direction.
Right.
Consider, like you're saying, let's put that to the side. Let's redefine what orgasm means. Ah, the state of pure being, pure presence, that
Yeah.
it just leaves
Bliss.
the body. You leave the body. Does
I
that make
just,
sense?
it does. It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could imagine that, so you're 20, for example, when you meet that person that has a very similar Merkaba to you, perhaps there's a male and a female tendency to it, I don't know. But when those two frequencies merge and resonate together, it has to be incredible. And I think the dolphins, with their abilities, are able to sense our Merkabas, our frequencies, our entire energy field around us, and they're able to, they communicate more with that than of course with a physical part of us. And I wonder if that's how it's assisted, how they help to assist childbirth too, because I read where they know a lady that's pregnant over one that isn't, and they go to them, and I wonder if they can sense a double Merkaba, so to speak, if that part part, a point, because
Yeah,
the
they
baby would
can.
have its own mirth, yeah, as well. Yeah, so I wonder, have you guys seen anything on the birthing of with the assisted with the dolphins?
Can I say one piece, Lauren?
Go ahead.
Just before that, John,
Yeah.
the dolphin knew us. I had a connection with the dolphin before we got there.
Wow.
An impression from them, like a visual impression, and this feeling. So it just touches into how our spirits connect. So that, now overlay that to what you were saying about being in the water, whether we're just there to visit them or have or give birth. Yes, they know everything, far greater consciousness. So to your point,
Right.
yes, if you know everything, they would know. They, if they knew me before I got there, then you know it.
Yeah.
I can't even put words to it.
Well, apparently they if a child has been birthed in the ocean with the assistance of dolphins, a lot of them end up telepathic. They speak, so to speak, before they learn to speak a language, they make sounds similar to dolphins. A lot of them, they end up relaying messages from dolphins to humans when they can speak, when they do talk later at 2 or 3 years old. There's quite a profound difference in a child that's been birthed with the assistance of a dolphin. Quite incredible.
It really is, guys. I Frank Joseph, Keepers of the Lost Knowledge, a fantastic book on dolphins, and they're able to. I mean, they know. They already know. Just like you said, Zosha. So basically, what my understanding is you're in the water, and they know your frequency. They know you. They see you, and they're able to. It's a more peaceful. It's a more peaceful, less, the fears removed. It's a more peaceful experience. And then that goes into, well, the baby being born, a higher frequency. I mean, can you imagine just a dolphin birth, and then the high consciousness, the high frequency in that baby?
It's
It's
yeah.
exciting.
It is. It's like a piece we're missing. Apparently, in ancient Greek, the word for dolphin is a dolphus. I think it's dolphus, and it means womb. And they considered the dolphin the midwife of the sea, so to speak. So it's
Wow.
lost knowledge for us, really.
To me, it does make sense because dolphins, of course, are mammals, and they give live birth in the water, obviously, and frequency, sound waves, and things like that travel in the water, and I think they can teach us how to be in one with their own environment by when a baby is born within the fluid environment and their surrounding temperature is the same as their body temperature. There's really no shock when they surface, like actual how we provide birthing right now. Unfortunately, they are brought out into the open air, which is a shock to their system. It's cold because they were just in a 98.6 degree environment, and then they're exposed to really cool temperatures, bright lights, and perhaps a slap on the foot or whatever to get them to cry. And so they're immediately thrust in a very traumatic experience. And I'm
And
sure
don't forget, they cut off their oxygen supply.
they do. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the dolphin birthing situation is showing us how to evolve in that particular area and to give birth within a very quiet, warm environment and allow the birthing process to be a beautiful experience rather than a very traumatic one. And I think I read somewhere where once the baby is born, that you shouldn't really cut the cord for like 30 minutes, from what I understand, because there's still an exchange of oxygen, an exchange of everything. Right?
Seems
That doesn't.
obvious, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it
Yeah.
does. Yeah, I think I remember seeing something with that too, Kevin, where in the wild, the baby has a chance of time to absorb the life-giving force from the placenta. And once it's all absorbed, then the deer or whatever will naturally separate that from the baby.
Oh, sorry, can I add one thing
Yes.
about being in the water? So if we can envision being in the water giving birth, just to remember Q's words that the water is a communication tool. So
Yes.
the dolphin can communicate with anything throughout the ocean, as can we. So what that water is also doing surrounding as your mother, and you use the word womb, John, the water has memory and can talk to every single living thing in the ocean right now. So that whole, it's just suspended in a whole other dimension, really. And synchronistically, I have to share this beautiful image that came to me yesterday from our beautiful Sojourn twin flame couple last night. I've been communicating about dolphins with them, and they sent an image. They had no idea that we would be on the show, but it was a female dolphin giving birth to her baby in the water, and all of the pod of dolphins started circling her, circling, circling, circling the mother and the baby, and felt that's just innate. That's their natural way. So just you can, right? I feel it as I can put the image in my head of what they're doing to the mother and the baby, the energetics that are coming out of the whole pod, being present with that mother and baby. And then the vortex that they're making, and I don't know about all of that, but you could just feel it. Even if I don't know how we'll get there, I could feel what it's going to be like. It's profoundly next level.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. And when you say next level, how do you feel? Do you feel that perhaps aquatic birthing centers may be in the new earth as far as another method of giving birth and having an increased popularity? Do you feel that might be something that
I
we
certainly do.
may see?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's exciting.
I do too, and it connects me to the I can't recall the title of the For the People piece, but they showed all of the in images of the underground, excuse me, underwater palaces and water areas and pools, and it was so really awakening to me on another level. It's like, wow, I didn't just to a next level of envisioning and remembering. So it's in the water. And remember, too, we're surrounded by water. Is it just different densities? We're breathing water. We have gills. Q said, too, if you spend enough time practicing going underwater, you stay there much, much longer. You learn. And I've been watching these beautiful birds. We saw them on the trip. I was going to call you mermaid, Lauren. We saw them on the trip. We saw mermaids and swimming underwater with no breathing apparatus for a long time. And I was like, wow. So to answer your question, yes, I feel like that. We're just of the water. We're of the water. So yeah, it feels absolutely.
So do I. I kind of feel we're heading in that direction. Now, of course, a lot of people do not live close by the oceans or, beaches or the water. And of course, birthing centers, I'm sure, may pop up along the coasts, especially if they utilize the actual ocean or the ocean waters for the birthing process. I also feel that we'll start going inward into the communities that are not located next to water and actually have aquatic birthing centers that would integrate like a spa-like environments and have hydrotherapy tubs, perhaps with labor and delivery personnel or midwives assisting. I see that as something that can develop, and there might be some technological integration with it as far as advanced temperature and maintenance systems with it. The warm water, of course, provides natural pain relief anyway. Warm water is a relaxant, if you will, and it's a very soothing medium, right? And I think we're going to see, I feel that we'll see more of aquatic centers
Wow.
integrated in communities.
Yeah.
And eventually, I also feel that they will move into individual homes. I mean, I can see that as like the birthing room over here, and because it's my feeling that really we've reduced our population, or our population will be reduced here soon, because we are told that there are clones. We're told that there's very few humans really on Earth, and people have taken the jab, and there's certain variables that may reduce the population, and I feel that perhaps we will need to increase the population soon, once things are kind of cleared away, the evil is gone, and we're in a more beautiful environment, in a new Earth environment. I think we're going to want to increase our population and go through co-creation, and I think I feel a lot of families will want to have at least more than one child and have numerous children. And if they integrate the aquatic birthing process, I feel that they may have their own personal aquatic equipment, birthing equipment in their home. So, does that sound feasible to you guys, or is that something that I may be way off base?
Zosia, okay, do you want to go or
Fish, go fish. I was waiting for you. Go
okay.
fish. A lot to think about. I was just.
yeah, thanks for the fish. yeah, so Kevin, I love what you shared. I've been asking my spirit, like, okay, how do we do this? How do we, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know the middle. Like, I just know that it excites me about dolphin birthing centers. So the first thing was like, well, I was like, what do I do next? Well, you got to reconnect with the dolphins first, Lauren. So that was, we went to Bimini, reconnected,
Good
and
point.
I know I'm a dolphin as well. And among other things, Zosia, we've talked about this. So I really was putting it to them, like, teach us, teach me, show me, lead me, guide me. Because there's so much, they're actually smarter than we are.
Yeah.
My dream is to just be living at the ocean, on the ocean, at the ocean, swimming. And I don't quite have, I don't know yet. To be honest with you, I don't know yet what the middle part looks like. Because if you sit here and you think, I worked in labor and delivery at the hospital, so I've seen the other side, and it's, I'm getting, I don't know. Do you need a team of people there? What do you need? I don't know. So it's still in the works as far as what it's going to look like. But I feel that, as more light comes in, we're in peace, we're doing the inner work, we're raising our frequency, that knowledge will come, right? And with the assistance of the dolphins. And two, also, I read in Anastasia where they actually had an experience, with Anastasia giving birth, or talking about it in the forest. Yeah, I mean, I don't know right this second, but that's just, I'm asking my spirit to lead me and guide me and show me.
Right. Apparently, Lauren, the dolphins, or once the baby comes out, the dolphin delivers it up to take its first breath up to the surface.
Beautiful.
And that's reported both from Russia and from Hawaii. And apparently, like if you go to mainstream media, they'll tell you it's a wild animal, you're really taking high risk and all this. But there's never been an issue with either one of those birthing centers. They've
Of
never had
course,
an issue.
of course they would say that because they don't want us to, yeah, no surprise there.
Plus, to touch on what you shared, Kevin, I feel you touched on so many points about even there not being many people here later. And yes, the light will have to regrow the light the way we want it after we wipe the slate board clean. So to tie into your points, I always wondered, for the people shares about the new tech coming out. So what if the people in the cities take their flying carpet to the ocean? You know what I mean? It's endless, limitless possibilities. That's where I go a lot. Like, wow, just it's endless possibilities. However we
Absolutely.
see it, we're the creators, as you both said earlier. So can't we create it how we wish? So yes, but there's synchronicities in the universe, which I feel is what you're touching on. Like, how does that middle, Lauren, that you say too, how do we get there? So it's the same thing. I don't know how we get there, but I feel it and I can see it. But I did, you know, it's interesting, all the points. How will it look? How will it happen? But yes to all of your points. Yes, I feel that we are absolutely going in that direction. And
And you
there
know,
are birthing centers, like you said, John. I wasn't aware of the ones in Russia, but I now see there's dolphin everywhere in the Red Sea, in Hawaii, in Bimini, and all over. They're here for us and others and others.
And I know my first step is getting my Selkie mermaid self out and living at the ocean. That's the first step, right? I gotta get out there. So yeah.
You know, Q spoke about his what was it, Q Trek? His ocean, the ocean trek.
Ocean Trek,
And
yeah.
you know, I could
Ocean Trek.
see, right, yeah, and how, you know, beneficial that would be for us. And I could see even having birthing centers on those, or even birthing vessels,
Yeah.
you know, or
Yes.
yeah.
I love that idea.
I do too.
Birthing cruise, right?
Remember, connected to that, remember Q mentioned, yeah, birthing. That's good. It being in the ocean, it was discussed once by Q as well, that sailors, when they're below the level of the ship and in the water, that they have this natural, I don't remember the words, but they live in a different peace being surrounded by that water. So that's really cool about the birthing vessel. It's kind of
There you go. I like that, Zosia.
as a birthing vessel myself.
That's a good one.
Q did state that it was a bad design when I discussed my birth experience, but he's like, bad design, bad design. Oh yeah, we can talk about that for a while.
Dear. Maybe
Sorry,
laying eggs
guys.
aren't such a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. I love that it's the men talking about this topic. I really do. I appreciate you guys
Me too.
bringing your
Well,
perspective. It's very helpful.
you know, as you guys know, I was a nurse. I'm a retired nurse also, and I really enjoyed my rotation in obstetrics. I actually liked that, you know. You got to see live births and cesareans, and it was just interesting. And then feeding the newborn, the neonate, the bassinets, all that stuff. It was just really interesting. And so I like to try to envision what that might feel like in the future, you know, because it was just something that I really enjoyed when I went through school. Although I didn't, I went to the other end instead of the birth coming into the world. I went to the birth exiting the world. So it was just a different way of looking at things.
Well, I figured I'd help put them in, I'll help take them out. So.
Yeah, you can't walk away and just leave it.
No,
That's not very nice.
but yeah, I
And
have four boys, and I love that, going into the delivery room and all that. Yeah, being part of that, it's great.
to realize that's how the light works. That's how the light in this place, that's how we bring more light here. It's housed in a human form. You know, looking at it like that, each moment, it's so such a miracle. Why do we respond like you're both discussing to births? It's light coming in again. Oh, he's another being of light.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it's to integrate this into the masculine and feminine energies. I think I see it as a balance, you know, where men can talk about the birthing process. You know, it's definitely strictly feminine energy, the birthing process, you know, but men can also integrate their energies within that process and discuss birthing and discuss child rearing, discuss, try to, you know, d see their place in the world, the masculine energy place, when it comes to when it comes to child rearing and trying to balance out their energies. You know, I was just I like to kind of explore that and see where men may fit into that. Anyway, I was just wondering whether kind of to go to the sideways here a little bit into how men will be more integrated into the child rearing area. I wonder if you guys have given any thought to that as far as how we would see men.
I would say, Kevin, go ahead. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to try to finish that out, just see how men would be more integrated into the child rearing experience in newer. That's kind of where I was wanting to go with that. Again, it's to me, it's a balance thing of trying to men share their emotional ideas, and also at the same time perhaps provide some sort of leadership or guidance as far as male caregivers and how they can help their children become more balanced. So, you guys have any thought? Did I trigger any thoughts
Go
or
fish, Lauren.
feelings with you? Go fish, as
Well,
you're.
I love that you're bringing this up, Kevin and John. I think first things first. I remember when Zosha and I had Q on the show, or were we on PRQ? I can't remember, but I was asking him about dolphin-assisted birthing centers and just wanted to talk about that. And basically, the message I got was, you got the cart before the horse, girl. You've got to work on, we got to the women and the men doing their inner work and balancing the energies, right? Before even getting to the co-creation process. So that's, that was the message that I got. Because I was just excited about the dolphins and the birthing, and so I feel like that's key, first before the next step. What about you, Zosha?
Yeah, that came to me too, Lauren. We were interviewing him on our show. That's exactly what stuck out to me. It's just to say it different, knowing yourself first. We discussed it after the show. It's like, okay, well, you have to know yourself first before you can even get to procreation at the level we're talking about earlier in this show, right? So then that's the beauty of the synchronicities. Then it all seems to roll into that. To the questions that you're asking, Kevin. And I feel like I love the questions because it gets you feeling into it. And I feel feeling into it for me is seeing it and then creating it, like holding it, seeing those images and envisioning gets me excited of the idea of the balance because I feel like, and you can correct me too, Lauren, when we talk about 20s and being with our true partners, it encompasses what you're discussing. That balance, it's not all, it won't be all the weight on, quote, the mother and the father going away. All of that's going away, I feel. And it will be that balance. And how I always yearn for that as well. There's such, of course, so much the male brings, your perspective that a female cannot bring. Because I don't know the experience of a male. I can see it and observe it and comment on it, but it's still just through my own filter. So it also makes me realize even male, female is even a label, just as a spirit. Each of us express and see things differently. So how does each of us bring something to child raising and even as a community? Like the Lion Prides and the Native Americans lived in a community. Even the moms, the lionesses would nurse another cub, another female's cub, things like that. Like that starts going into all other ideas of community in our tribe, with our group of people we're deeply connected with. So just to add, I'm just adding more to to your piece, Kevin, not
Mm-hmm.
necessarily answering it, but.
That makes sense. That brought to the saying, it takes a village. And I've heard that before, where and that is something that could we could see where there are communities that take care of the children as a whole, as the community, not necessarily a single mother and father, but all of the mothers in the community and perhaps all the fathers in the community would take care of the children in a way. I could see that happening as well.
I think that's the way it was in the what Anastasia referred to as the Vedic or Vedic
Vedic.
times. Yeah, I think it was the first 990,000 years or something. Yeah, that it was you know, it was a community effort. It, just
And
like
the
all of
and
them.
the animals and the forests and the animals.
Exactly. Yeah, they were all part of it, and they're totally different than what we've been taught or you know have experience with. And even look at us, learn. We look who we are today. We had it's been going so fast. We had no idea who we are. You know, it wasn't for Q and Mermaid. You know, it's only been a few months really, and it's ramping up all the time. It's just absolutely crazy. And look at the changes around us, even just in our community, our people, how we've evolved and you know changed and our perspectives, and it's really quite exciting. I'm loving
It's like we're just climbing out of what you're pointing to. We're climbing out of that old stuff. It's
Right
this
on.
process of unloading all the junk that's not ours. And back to what
Yeah.
you brought up, Lauren, too, just knowing ourself, you know, that's like, okay, that's not me. That's not me. That's a program. That's not even me. So everything becomes new again. So it could be weird and also exciting. All that we're discussing is there. And then there's no time, guys, right?
Oh,
So
never.
it's all going on at the same time anyway. So we're just remembering.
Right.
Oh, it's so fun.
Good point. Oh, I think we lost Kevin.
Kevin's in a storm.
All right, he's in a storm. He's in a storm.
Yeah, so he'll be back in. That's funny.
Yeah, we'll have to load back up.
John, how do you feel if may I ask you a
Yeah.
question
Yes.
to what Kevin's was bringing up? How do you, because you're a dad, you have four boys.
Yeah. How
How,
do I? Oh, yeah. Well, I wish I had this information years ago, but at least I was very active with my kids, as you know, and even in the delivery room, I wanted to be a part of that. And depend on who's delivering it, the baby, the doctors aren't always friendly to let you be part of it, or, you know,
I've
but
met
you
a
know,
couple.
yeah, and you know. Right. And from a male's perspective, however, like my father never knew what my mother went through to have a baby or any of that experience. He was never in the delivery room ever, which I think was very commonplace then. Maybe even some of that today. I don't know. How about Kevin or the for the most part, are the men part of the delivery now? Do they go in or is there still?
I did. I saw that the men really wanting to be a part of it. You know, there were some that, you know, I have to stand at the head of the bed. I can't, you know, queasy, which, but they get queasy. But yeah, I did see the men genuinely wanting to be a part of the experience and supporting their partner, their wife, encouraging them through the process. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, what I recall is that they were always given a choice whether or not they wanted to be in
Okay.
the birthing theater or not, you know. Some did, some didn't, you
Yeah. I quite enjoyed
know.
that.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times, I remember one time it was on our first child. Yeah, there was a group of interns there, and they wanted to know if they could be part of it. So they were, but this doctor had said to us, "This is the perfect situation. You know, we really have a healthy dad. We have a healthy mother. They both want to have the child," which is something that never crossed my mind that that would ever be a thing. But quite often there's a mother in there. Where's the father? You know, whatever. They're, you know, maybe didn't plan the child or whatever. So, which is really, you know, our messed up world that we're in. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And again, thanks to Mermaid and the Ringing Cedars, she really, you know, put that all together there for us. You know, how the child is planned. It's not about just a sexual experience. It's about wanting to have that child. And And I don't know how that all works, but they knew they wanted to have a boy, and that's it was going to be a boy. There was no,
They envisioned it.
we
They
envisioned it,
envisioned
right?
what they wanted. And yeah, sorry, John.
No, that's, I appreciate that one. Yeah, so there's so much we don't know, but
And
sometimes getting this information so quick, it can be a little bit overwhelming. But I feel bad for those out there, which is the majority. They have no idea the information that we have and that we know. And we know it. Yeah, we've been shown the information, told it, but it just rings and resonates and makes sense with us. And it's sad that so many people don't have that yet, but hopefully that'll change too.
John, speaking of sad,
Oh, it's time for a laugh.
maybe, yeah, it's time for some sad jokes, do you
Oh, can
think?
I
Or
start off? I've got one I just thought about when Lauren was speaking there. Now, Lauren, I have a bit of an accent, but so do you. Yeah, you get that southern accent a little.
I do.
Yeah, but I love it. I love it. But I remember this old joke from years ago, and this guy says, "Do you know the difference between a northern girl and a southern girl?" And he says, "A northern girl says you can. A southern girl says y'all can."
True.
Yeah, let's see. I just had a police officer knock on my door saying that he was looking for a man with one eye. I told him he should use both eyes. He'll probably find him a lot quicker.
To honor you guys, I looked one up. May I go?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Go, Sosha, go. Yeah,
It's a do
please.
it's a real doozy. Hang on to your seats. I'm just
Okay.
kidding. I have an affix well, I wouldn't say that, but what kind of soap do dolphins use?
Ooh, what kind of soap do dolphins use? Well, I
There she
remember the
looks.
last joke
I
you were
know.
talking. It
It's
was
not the good
it's
memory.
not tied, is
It's not. It's
that
not.
no? Okay.
They use all porpoise cleaner.
All
All-purpose
that's a good one,
cleaner.
Sosha. That's a good one, Sosha. That's a
Thank
good
you,
one.
thank you. I had to show up. I had to show up.
This fellow, he goes to the doctor because he can't sleep. The doctor said, "Well, it's in your mindset." He said, "Just go home." He said, "And start at your feet, tell your feet to fall asleep, then your ankles, then your legs, then you keep working your way up." He said, "You'll never get to your head. You'll be fast asleep." And so we went home that night. He's laying in bed. Okay, feet fall asleep. Okay, ankles fall asleep. Legs fall asleep. Hips fall asleep. Chest fall asleep. And just then, his wife came in a skimpy negligee. And he said, "Everybody up, everybody up."
John, I always hide my wife's asthma inhaler so she can scream at me, "Give it to me, give it to me." So the neighbors hear her and think I'm a stud.
Oh, this is getting to be a dirty show. We might have to X-rate it. We should let John know.
My ears are covered. I'm not listening.
You got earmuffs? Earmuffs, Sosha?
You have one there, Lauren?
I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm
Okay.
going to fill in for you.
Thank you.
Okay, another one. This older fella goes to the doctor for a checkup, and he checks him out. He said, "Well, you're in great shape." He said, "Go home." He said, "Do whatever you're doing." He said, "Well, before I go, doc," he said, "I just want to ask you about my wife." He said, "Oh, what's wrong?" He said, "I think she's going deaf." He said, "But I don't know how to tell her. I don't want to hurt her feelings." He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what to do. You go home tonight." He said, "Get about 25 feet away from her and ask her a question in a normal tone of voice. And then go 5 feet closer and keep doing this till she can hear you. And let me know how far away you had to be from her, and we'll kind of go from there." He said, "That's a good idea. I'll do it." So he went home. He's watching TV, and he turns and looks in the kitchen, and his wife's cooking at the stove. And he says, "I'm about 25 feet away now." So he says, "Honey, what's for supper?" Nothing. Gets up, goes 5 feet closer. "Honey, what's for supper?" Still nothing. She keeps doing this. Finally gets right up behind her. He says, "Honey, what's for supper?" She said, "For the fifth time, chicken."
Oh, Did you know that if you have 5 inches of fat around your tummy, you can prevent a bullet from reaching any vital organs? So you're not fat, you're armored. So go eat that cake.
They're overnourished, Kevin.
I gotta bring some jokes next time. I gotta bring jokes. Okay. All right. All
I have
right.
to go bake a cake.
This young bunch were out at the bar having a few drinks, and they suddenly there was a wet t-shirt contest, and so one of their friends was a girl, but they were trying to get her to go into it, but she was always a little self-conscious because she had one boob a little bigger than the other one. She said, "I don't want to do that, you know." She said, "I'm telling you, just go, just go." So finally, they got her convinced, and she went up in the contest. She came in first and third.
There was a new teacher and was trying to make use of her psychology courses, and she started her class by saying, "Everyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up." After a few seconds, little Johnny stood up. And the teacher said, "Do you think you are stupid, little Johnny?" "No, ma'am, but I hate seeing you standing there all by yourself."
Just
Little
do this for
Johnny.
the whole show.
That's good.
Oh,
That's
dear.
good.
Johnny takes an awful beating, doesn't he?
That's so
So
funny.
I got one final one. I pointed at two drunks sitting across from us at the bar and told my friend, "That's going to be us in 10 years." And he said, "That's a mirror, you stupid dipshit." Okay, anyway. Oh boy, that was fun. Sad jokes, y'all. Stupid and dumb, but like.
PBS is like, oh, thank goodness. It's only we're counting down.
Well, it's always a pleasure having both of you on the show, Lauren and Zosia.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Any final thoughts? Anything before we close out the show here that we want to say? Anything at all?
Well, catch us tonight at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern for Unstoppable Love with Lauren and Zosia. And I believe Sojourns is on next
Okay,
Right on,
with
Lauren. Right
Hummy
on.
Bo.
You're absolutely right. Yes. All
Yes.
right. Johnny, you got anything to say?
No, that was it. I'd like to thank these two lovely ladies for all their commentary and everything they bring.
Thank
What a
you.
great
Thank
show. Another great show. This is
and
not the
thank
last one.
thank you to the men showing up. Thank you, thank you, thank
Absolutely.
you.
Thank you,
Yeah.
ladies.
So, yeah, we definitely have to have you back again, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, we love it.
All
And I
right.
can't wait for our four-wheeler party, Gut Girls.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Okay, well, I think that might be a wrap. So, Don, perhaps the outro music would be fitting now. And I think I'll just say thank you all for showing up and listening to us. And thank you, BBS Radio, for all you do for us. And I guess we, John and I, will see you guys again in 2 weeks on A Cuban Perspective.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
All
Bye-bye.
right.